Good afternoon, everybody. This is Brad Woodhouse with Protect Our Care. I want to thank those reporters who have joined us, who probably were particularly healthcare reporters, who were probably also covering the HELP committee hearing today on coronavirus, hearing from coronavirus task force members. That hearing also, of course, included Senator Murphy, questioning on the Democratic side, who we'll hear from in a minute. But here today, we're here to talk about the president and Republicans' ongoing efforts to destroy American healthcare, and to do so relatedly to that topic of COVID-19 in the middle of the worst pandemic in 100 years to visit American shores. So one reason we're doing this call today is that we have began the process of the Supreme Court's consideration of the lawsuit brought by President Trump and Republicans to completely root and branch rip apart the Affordable Care Act. Every piece of it, every sentence, every apostrophe, every single word. And so last week, Democratic Attorney Generals who were defending the law along with the House of Representatives filed briefs. This week, amicus briefs are being filed, one by every Senate Democrat has signed on to an amicus brief, and then other groups, patient groups, advocacy groups, and other legal groups are also tomorrow will file amicus briefs. Later on, the Republican AGs and the Justice Department later on in the summer will have an opportunity to respond to those briefs that have been filed by our side that are defending the law, plus put forward their theory, legal theory, as crazy as it is, that somehow the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional and should be completely eliminated in the middle of a global pandemic. So so we're here today to talk about that and to talk about the consequences of that action. And, you know, the president was given an opportunity last week to once again address his views on this lawsuit. And he simply said, you know what, we're going to terminate health care under the Affordable Care Act, or I think he said Obamacare. We're going to terminate health care. And that's his view, and that's his view during this global pandemic. And I know our other speakers will talk about about some of the repercussions of this, but you know, just the really top line, 20 million people would lose healthcare immediately. Protections for 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions would be gone immediately. The donut hole that was closed for seniors, 12 million seniors, would pay a higher cost for prescription drugs. This is the same time that the president has done nothing relative to his campaign pledge and his pledge in the White House that he would do something on the cost of prescription drugs. Kids would be who are on their parents' policies till 26 would be kicked off those policies. Rural hospitals and rural communities would be hurt, particularly with the loss of the expansion of Medicaid. And the list just goes on and on and on. And you know, so we're doing this work every day, and every single day we're thankful to have allies like little lobbyists who we'll hear from later, but like Senator Murphy. I mean, Senator Murphy has been the anti-repeal, anti-sabotage czar in the United States among Democrats, fighting this administration tooth and nail, holding them accountable, asking tough questions, highlighting sabotage, highlighting repeal, and highlighting this Texas lawsuit. And Senator Murphy, we're so glad to be allies with you in this fight, and I'm so glad at this point to turn the call over to you for your remarks.
Brad, thank you very much, and really excited to be on the call with you. Thank you to Protect Our Care for, you know, just the amazing work that you have done to help give the American people a voice, to allow them to stand up for a piece of legislation that's helped ensure millions of Americans and kept insurance companies from discriminating against folks who have pre-existing conditions and existing illnesses. Thanks also to little lobbyists. I don't know that there was a more influential organization advocating against repeal in 2017 and a little obvious, and it's great to be on the call with you. You know, we generally use the number $20 million when we talk about the stakes of repealing the Affordable Care Act. And that has been true because that's about the number of Americans that got insurance through the Affordable Care Act. And if Texas v. United States proves successful at the Supreme Court, that's the number of Americans who overnight would lose their insurance. But things are changing. Because of the ongoing coronavirus crisis, we are approaching a 20% unemployment rate, meaning more and more Americans are finding themselves reliant on the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid in order to get themselves and their family insurance. Estimates are that if unemployment reaches 20%, and I hate to say it, but it's likely that we are headed towards 20% unemployment in this country, that we will see 43 million Americans losing their employer-sponsored health coverage. Some of them will go on COBRA. Others may remain uninsured. But millions of those people who lose their job through this crisis are going to get their insurance from an exchange or through Medicaid. And so the number of people who are now at risk of losing their health insurance if President Trump's lawsuit is successful is not 20 million, it might be 25 million or 30 million or 35 million. The stakes are just hard to get your head wrapped around. And so it makes no sense that this administration is pursuing a repeal of the Affordable Care Act without a replacement. But it makes even less sense that the administration is continuing to pursue this dangerous repeal effort in the middle of a pandemic. And what's interesting is that you're starting to see some of the most vocal supporters of repeal beginning to change their mind. Over the weekend, my colleague Lamar Alexander went on national TV and said that he was disappointed that the president was continuing to support the Texas v. United States lawsuit through the court system. This is the first time we've heard something like that from Chairman Alexander, and a lot of us wish he had said that a year or two ago. But I think Senator Alexander's comments represents a nervousness, a panic amongst Republicans who know that the repeal of the Affordable Care Act wasn't popular to begin with, but it is now potentially disastrous for them to support repealing the Affordable Care Act in the middle of a pandemic. I think that Senator Alexander's comments will be the tip of the spear. I think you'll be hearing many other Republicans starting to distance themselves from this lawsuit because they know that there will be electoral hell to pay if they support the removal of insurance from 30 million Americans in the middle of a public health epidemic that has already killed 80,000 of us. So we'll continue to press the case both legally and through the political process. As Brad mentioned this week, every Democrat in the Senate will sign on to an amicus brief to the court, and we will continue to press our colleagues inside the United States Senate. I was proud of my colleague Tim Kaine, who today in his questioning of our witnesses before the hearing on coronavirus brought up the fact that part of the reason that other countries have been more successful in fighting off this virus is because they have many fewer of their citizens who are without insurance. And as we've lost about 1 million people from the ranks of the insured just during the Trump administration because of their sabotage campaign against the Affordable Care Act, we were already in a vulnerable position, more vulnerable than we were when President Obama was in office. But this lawsuit, should it succeed, would be life-ending for many Americans who right now have only the Affordable Care Act to rely on to get their insurance as more and more citizens lose their jobs in the middle of this depression-like environment. So let me thank again Brad and Laura for including me on the call. I'm going to stick on the call as long as I can. I think we're going to have a vote open up at some point soon on the Senate floor.
Great. Senator Murphy, thank you. And again, thank you for all that you and your team, because your staff is so good on this and so good to work with. With that, I want to turn it over to Laura Hatcher. Laura is the communications director for Little Lobbyists, but I think her more important title is mom. Laura's son Simon had a stroke in utero. I'm not going to go into any more of that story because I know that partly we have her on the phone to tell a little bit about that story and how the repeal of the Affordable Care Act through the courts would affect their family and families like theirs. But I just want to thank Laura because I think, as Senator Murphy said, what the little lobbyists did to give voice to the real consequences of repeal in 2017 and to give it a face of some of our most vulnerable citizens, our kids struck with severe illnesses and pre-existing conditions, was so instrumental in stopping repeal and helping to, I think, turn around, really give us political high ground as it relates to the Affordable Care Act, which, by the way, we took right into 2018 and won elections all over the country and took back the House of Representatives. I mean, one thing I don't get about kind of any of this is the politics. I can get the ideology if that's just what you believe, is that we don't need this health care law. But, man, the politics for Trump and Republicans seems to be, it seems to be the equivalent of political suicide. And that would be fine if the stakes weren't so high and if we didn't literally have a decision forthcoming at the Supreme Court that could get rid of this law in the middle of a global pandemic. With that introduction, let me turn it over to Laura Hatcher.
Thank you so much, Brad. You're absolutely right. Mom is my very favorite title. thank you to Protect Our Care for hosting this call. And thank you so much, Senator Murphy, for all you're continuing to do to protect our families. And thank you to all of the press on the line. I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you today on behalf of Little Lobbyists. Despite our name, we're not actual lobbyists. We're a group of families who advocate with and for our children with complex medical needs and disabilities. We came together in the summer of 2017 in direct response to efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Families like mine, who rely on healthcare every day to keep our children alive and home with us, were terrified as we watched the GOP leadership of the House of Representatives toast their repeal of our healthcare protections in the White House Rose Garden. We believed, we hoped, that such callousness came from a lack of understanding about what the Affordable Care Act really means to our families. So a small group of us living near the Capitol decided to act. We began collecting the photos and stories from other families like ours all across the country, and we took our children with us as we hand-delivered them to members of Congress. 3 years later, threats to our children's access to health care have continued. We're still fighting for our kids who are still surviving and thriving because of the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion. Kids like my son, who have medical records miles long, but who've been given a shot at life because of access to continued health care despite their pre-existing conditions. Children whose medical bills reached $1 million or more before kindergarten, but who still have a shot at life because of access to continued health care without an annual or a lifetime limit. Our families want everyone to hear the stories of those who would be directly impacted if the ACA repeal lawsuit succeeds. Stories like mine. My son Simon is 14. He loves to play Mario Kart with his big sister and practices drums. He's got a great sense of humor and he gives the best hugs. Simon also has cerebral palsy, hydrocephalus, a rare degenerative form of epilepsy, autism, and a unique genetic disorder. He has vision and hearing loss, physical and cognitive disabilities, and complex medical needs. Simon was 4 years old when the Affordable Care Act passed. He'd already been in and out of the hospital more times than I could count. His diagnoses were mounting, and so were the medical bills. We had good insurance through my husband's employer, but I knew we were rapidly approaching Simon's lifetime cap, and I really didn't know what we were going to do when that happened. But then the Affordable Care Act passed. Finally, I could stop worrying about how I was going to afford to keep my child alive beyond this arbitrary cap on his insurance and focus on his well-being instead. And for the past 10 years, despite more diagnoses, surgeries, and hospital stays, Simon has had uninterrupted access to the health care that he needs. In addition, thanks to the ACA's expansion of Medicaid in our state, Simon qualified for a Medicaid waiver, which gives him access to the community support that he needs to stay out of an institutional setting, despite having multiple disabilities. He's able to thrive at home with his family who loves him, which is exactly where he belongs. When the Affordable Care Act passed, it truly felt like a miracle. But today it feels like we're living in a nightmare. Our nation is in the middle of a pandemic, and not only am I worried about my child's vulnerability to this virus, I'm worried that he will lose access to the daily health care he needs to stay alive. Because after failing to repeal the ACA through Congress, the president and some GOP attorneys general are determined to destroy my family's access to health care through the courts, and they have no plan to replace it. Without the protection of the Affordable Care Act, Simon and millions of people with pre-existing conditions will be uninsurable. Without insurance, I cannot afford the health care my child needs. His monthly prescriptions alone cost thousands of dollars. Without Medicaid, Simon and millions of people with disabilities will be unable to continue living in their communities. In order to get the support they need, they will be forced back into institutions where they run a far higher risk of being infected with COVID-19, and they could further overwhelm our healthcare system. Without the Affordable Care Act, my entire family will lose access to healthcare. In addition to the health crisis created by the pandemic, we're also in an economic crisis. My husband recently lost his job, and with it, our family's health insurance. I am a self-employed graphic designer, but thanks to the Affordable Care Act, I was able to independently purchase high-quality health insurance for my entire family through the exchanges, even though half of us have pre-existing conditions. Access to high-quality, affordable health care protects my family from economic ruin. It protects my child's right to live in his community with his family who loves him, and it is literally the difference between life and death every single day. That is what the Affordable Care Act gives us. That is what is at stake in this lawsuit, and that is what Little Lobbyist is fighting to protect for all of our families. If something good is to come from this horrible time that we find ourselves in, I hope that all Americans, especially our leadership, will come to understand that healthcare is a human right. We cannot be a strong, whole nation without it. So thank you so much for your time today, and I truly wish that everyone going through this really scary time has continued health and safety. Thank you so much. Back to you, Brad.
Laura, thank you, and thank you for that story. But more importantly, thank you for your advocacy and for all that you and Little Lobbyists do. With that, that is our program. We'll open it up for questions from the press, if any.
At this time, if you have questions for any of our speakers, please press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question for our speakers, please press *3. All right, our first question is going to come from Zach Cohen at the National Journal. Zach,
hi,
you are live.
Thanks for holding this call. Hi, thanks for holding this call. I appreciate it. Question for Senator Murphy, sort of broadening this out to other discussions as part of the coronavirus response. Senator McConnell has said that he wants to limit any sort of liability protections to make sure that it doesn't rule out legitimate claims and, you know, malpractice lawsuits, of general negligence. Is that something that you or Democrats, is that sort of standard something you could go along with, or is there still concern that the leader's focus on liability protections isn't necessary right now?
I think Senator McConnell should be focused on helping states save lives. I think right now the priority needs to be helping states reopen and helping them pay for the build out of a testing, tracing, and quarantine system that allows our economies to stay open. I'm generally very skeptical of taking legal rights away from any American, but especially low-income Americans. I admit to not being, you know, an expert on this topic, and I'm certainly, you know, willing to, you know, hear Senator McConnell's case. I just generally start from the premise that, you know, fear of lawsuits is usually overhyped by Republicans. These are obviously a very unique, this is obviously a very unique breed of legal liability, and while I'm, you know, certainly skeptical of the claims he makes, I'm willing to listen to his case.
Thank you.
Right,
do we have any other questions? Okay.
That's all the questions we have today.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, it was quite a comprehensive presentation. Senator Murphy, any closing comments on your end?
No, listen, I think we've covered it. I hope that everybody is staying safe. We all count our blessings right now, and one of the blessings that I count is the ability to have health insurance. I know, every night when I go to bed that if something were to happen the next day, that my family wouldn't go bankrupt, and I don't want to return to a day in which millions of American families have no idea where to get health insurance simply because somebody in their family is sick or was sick
right.
20 years ago. So we've got work to do to continue to protect the Affordable Care Act. It's frankly more important now than ever, and appreciate the chance to be part of this.
Well, thank you for doing this call, and Laura, thank you for your story. We're going to be
thank
in
you.
Touch on this throughout the course of this, both throughout the course of the coronavirus crisis, but also the course of this lawsuit. I mean, I think many people were saying 2 years ago, "Don't be alarmed about this. Don't worry about this. This is a message suit. It's the legal theory is crazy. They're just playing politics, currying favor with the base in their states, these attorney generals and governors." Well, here we are, once again for the third time. The ACA is landed before the Supreme Court with the health care of millions. And I was on a call, Senator Murphy, with Senator Harris on this question the other day. And, really in some form or fashion, if you think about the protections for people with pre-existing conditions, almost everyone is going to have one at some point. I mean, this law affects nearly every American, or certainly nearly every American family. And the fact that Republicans are still gunning for it, even during this period where we need to get more people insured and take care of more people's health care, is an abomination. And, I think they're going to pay for it dearly politically if more of them don't do what Senator Alexander did belatedly this weekend and separate themselves from this travesty of a policy of getting rid of health care for so many millions of Americans. So with that, we'll close the call. Thank everybody for participating. Thank you, reporters, for doing double duty today. And we will be in touch soon. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.